Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of Truth for our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation in South Apple 12 down in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 16, 2017, or 6 to 29, 2021. We will start our Sabbath service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled In the Garden. I come to the garden, how long? All that I do is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling out my endless heart as your discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, and nothing has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice so sweet the birds are singing. The melody that he gave to me without my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy he shares he tells me there, none of him has ever known. I stay in the garden with him, the night around me she falls. He bids me go to the voice of love, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, our heart is ever known. Hear ye the rod and who hath appointed? Part 5. We're going to continue on our study list now. Pick up Exodus chapter 13. It says, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of the Israel, both of the man and of the beast. It is mine. Okay, Brother Johnson was the firstborn. That is for sure. And Ben Roden was a firstborn that succeeded V.T. Hollis. Here we know of, in our day, two firstborn that was appointed over the candlestick of Laodicea, Seventh-day Adventists. In other words, they were prophets put in charge of the truth of the sanctuary, the sacrificial system, the ceremonial system of the sanctuary. They were put in charge of the sanctuary. Okay, so now this is your firstborn. And he says now to Moses, he said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. When Moses sanctified unto Yahweh at that time, all the firstborn, that was a type. Because we have the law of Moses and the antitype, again, to be fulfilled in our day during the same purpose. And that is sanctifying the firstborn. That's the first thing you have to do, to sanctify the firstborn. For the Adam and Eve, when the firstborn Cain was born, I guarantee you they sanctified him. They sanctified him to be the progenitor and to carry on the righteous line of the Adam and Eve. Okay, Exodus 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from the Egypt, out of the house of the bondage. For by the strength of the hand of the Yahweh brought ye out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Let's go to that again. For by the strength of the Yahshua, the rock in the cloud, 1 Corinthians 10:4, that brought you out from this place, there shall no leavened be bread. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day come ye out in the month Abib. There's the month Abib. The Egyptians, I believe they called it Nisan, but nevertheless they recognized it as being the first month of the year, same as Abib. Exodus 13, verse 5, and it shall be when the Yahshua shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee a land flowing of the milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service and this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Yahweh. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Yahweh did unto me when I came forth out of the Egypt. This is done because of that which the Yahshua, the Son, did unto me when I came forth out of the Egypt. For the people today have no realization of the strong, number one, important role that our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, played in the Old Testament. Because his name in the Old Testament scriptures is Abaddon. And that means it's the name of the scriptures of the Old Testament, meaning that Yahshua is the author. Yahshua the Son is the author of the Old Testament. He's the one that gave the word unto Moses upon the Mount Sinai, no doubt, because it was the Father and the Son upon the Mount Sinai when they called Moses up into that cloud that day. For Yahshua Abaddon, that's his name in the Hebrew, meaning the word of Yahweh. And you go to John chapter 1 for that. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which Yahshua did unto me when I came forth out of the Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Yahshua's law. What? Now this is upper and lower case, and when you find the upper and lower case where it spells the word Lord, and that's all it is, it's just a word or a title for Baal. But when you see that in the upper and lower case, the translator understands that that is referring to the Son, Yahushua, the Messiah. So I'll read that as such. That Yahshua's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Yahshua brought thee out of the Egypt with a strong hand. Well, who is the visible representation of that strong hand? And that would be Moses and Aaron, those two, those brothers. In Exodus 12:14, we'll back up and review again that event. It says that, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast or a Sabbath day or a holy convocation, meaning a gathering of the members of the house of Israel unto the Yahshua throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance, meaning that you have to have some emblems, either of the flesh of the lamb and the bitter herbs, or you have the ordinance of the wine and the unleavened bread. as we understand that it took the place of the flesh of the lamb and the bitter herbs of the Old Testament. Then it says there in Exodus 12:15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from the house of the Israel. Today that translates in cut off from the house of David, everlasting kingdom of the heaven, during the 12th hour. Okay, now we go back to Exodus 13:9, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Yeshua's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Yeshua brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Okay, that's for. All right. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Okay, so this is a commandment commanded unto Israel from that day onward. From the time they came out of Egypt, the night that they came out of Egypt on the Passover day, they were commanded. Because it says in verse 11 of Exodus 13, and it shall be when the Yeshua shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanite, as he swear unto thee and unto thy fathers, and shall give it unto thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Yeshua all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Yeshua. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of the hand of the Yeshua brought us out from the Egypt, from the house of the bondage. Today, we are being gathered once again out of Egypt, the spiritual Egypt of the day, from the house of bondage. The Adventist Church collectively, controlled and run by the General Conference President and his officers, represents a house of bondage today for the 144,000 saints that are lodged in her midst, that are waiting for their day of the deliverance, when Yeshua, the angel of Revelation 20, comes down with that key to the bottomless pit. It says so right there in Revelation 20. And verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from the heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid a hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Okay, and it says in verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. Who were these thrones? The 144,000 prophets, priests, and kings, that they were given each a throne, and that they should judge their brethren, the 12 tribes of Israel. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Yeshua and for the word of the Yahweh, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Yeshua 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, that they shall be priests of the Yahweh and of his son Yeshua the Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out for the deceiving of the nations that are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, for the gathering them together for the great battle, for the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth, and they compassed the camp of the saints. Now here they are. The saints are here on the earth. And what earth is it? It's the new earth. Because when the saints come back from heaven with Yeshua the Messiah at the end of the 1,000 years, they're in the holy city. And that holy city is set up here on the earth and compass the camp of the saints. Because there's no way that Satan can take his resurrected army of the wicked people and go to heaven and attack the saints there in heaven. That would be impossible, because when he was cast down there in Revelation chapter 12, he was cast down from heaven. After Yeshua resurrected, went back to heaven, he cast him down to this earth, and with the third of the angels that he had deceived in heaven, and there was no more place found in heaven for them. So for the last 2,000 years, Satan has been bound to this earth, and this earth is called the bottomless pit. Okay? This is the bottomless pit. Until sin has been eradicated and Satan and the wicked are destroyed, then it is no longer a bottomless pit. Okay. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, this is Revelation 20, verse 9, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Oh, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, the beast and the false prophet, they beat Satan to the lake of fire. And we read about that there in Revelation 19:20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that had wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into a lake of the fire, into a lake of fire, burning with the brimstone. It wasn't the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. It was a lake of fire this side of the millennium in the 12th hour, still in the probationary time of this earth's history here in the last days. Okay. And then it says in Revelation 19:21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay, so it says in Revelation 21:11, it said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Okay, so the heaven, that is the atmosphere above this earth, this sinful planet, fled away at his presence. And there was found no place for them. Well, it had to be, because Yahshua came down upon his great white throne, and Ezekiel saw that there in Ezekiel 1:26. He saw that in prophecy back way back there in Ezekiel. Yeah, Ezekiel 1:26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Okay, so there it is right there. Ezekiel saw him coming to this earth. Okay, and the great white throne that John the Revelator is seeing here and talking about. Because he says in Revelation 21:11, once again, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. That is, there was no place found for them. And so Daniel 2:35 talks about this as well. It says that, we'll go and hurriedly turn to Daniel 2:35 and read that. Okay, it says that, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the son of threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone, that's the house of David, the mountain of the house of Yahweh, that's mentioned there in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, that smote the image, that represents this stone, that represents the kingdom of David, that smote the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So, now we go back to Revelation 21. Once again, we pick up where we left off. In verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Yahweh, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of the life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according unto their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according unto their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of the life was cast into the lake of the fire. And this gives me a cross reference once again at Revelation 19:20. So that lake of fire before the millennium translates into the same lake of fire at the end of the millennium. It was just rekindled at the end of the millennium for Satan and the wicked that were resurrected at the end of the millennium. That's all it amounted to. Okay, that closes that study on Revelation 21. Let's go back now to Exodus chapter 13. Okay, Revelation, Exodus 13:13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. So the firstborn has to be redeemed if they can be redeemed. But it says they have to use a lamb. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of the hand, the Yeshua brought us out from Egypt in the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Yeshua slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Why did he do that? Because Pharaoh refused to sanctify the firstborn by the offering of a lamb. Cain refused. The firstborn refused to accept the offering of the blood of the lamb like his brother Abel did, like his younger brother Abel. And so by refusing to, then Yahweh could not redeem Cain by the blood of the lamb because he refused the blood of the lamb. Okay, so the firstborn that refused the blood of the lamb, they cannot be redeemed. This is what was offered. This is what was proffered there at Gilead's Tent in Kermit, Texas, 2002, to redeem all of the house of Gilead, starting with the leader, Rodolph W. Johnson, by the blood of the Lamb of Yahshua, renewed. They refused the offer, and so we know the rest of the story. They ended up just like Cain. They ended up just like Judas Iscariot. He refused the offer at the Last Supper. Like the man of sin, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, that refused the blood, that refused the blood. The man of sin is always, most usually, not always, but can be the leader, the prophet of the house of Israel, just like Balaam was. Okay, so it talks about there in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, it talks about that the man of sin. Let's see if we can't find it here. 2 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him. that you be not soon shaken in the mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the Word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Yeshua is at the hand. That no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of the perdition. The angels, when they were created in heaven, after Yahshua was the first creation in heaven, and Lucifer was created, and all the holy angels were created, they were all holy. And if Yahshua, the Son, was acknowledged by the Father as being the only begotten of the Father, Lucifer and the angels in heaven had to be created another way. Yahshua the Son came out of the loins of the Father, but Lucifer and the holy angels didn't come out of the loins of the Father. They were created just like Adam and Eve were in heaven. They were created from the dust of the ground. And Lucifer didn't like that. And so he rebelled. And he ended up becoming a son of perdition. That's what it says right here. So, if we want to know if the angels in heaven were called sons of Yahweh, yeah, they were. It says right here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, that the man of sin is a son of perdition. And we know that Lucifer is the first man of sin in heaven. So, this has to translate then into people that become, that are given a sacred charge, and they abandon that sacred charge and rebel against it. They become, and they openly rebel and sin against their Creator, so they become the sons of perdition. And it says, and these sons of perdition, they oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called Yahweh or that is worshipped, so that he as the Yahweh sitteth in the temple of the Yahweh, showing himself that he is the Yahweh. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahshua shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, folks, if you, in order to be saved, you've got to receive the love of the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And for this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. The truth of what? The truth of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua that is offered unto mankind for their redemption from the bondage of sin, that had pleasure in the unrighteousness, it says here. But we are bound for the giving thanks always unto Yahweh for you, brethren, beloved of Yahweh, because Yahweh hath from the beginning chosen you for the salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Isn't this amazing? Belief of the truth. What does it say in Psalm 119:142? Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is in the truth. And then you go to Ephesians 1:3-4. It gives us a little bit more information on that. It says that, blessed be the Yahweh and Father of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the Yahshua, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in the love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by the Yahshua Messiah, unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will, unto the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. even the forgiveness of sins according unto the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according unto his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in the Yeshua, both which are in heaven. Oh my. So there are saints in heaven that's got to be reconciled with the saints here on earth. They're going to be brought back from heaven when Yeshua comes back to gather the saints here on earth and join them all back together again, because Moses is up there, Enoch is up there, Elijah is up there. Those three have to come and join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob here on this earth, Matthew 8:11, and the rest of the saints with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're going to all sit down together, and which are on the earth, even in him. Ephesians 1:11. And whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according unto the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be unto the praise of his glory, who first trusted in the Yeshua, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, for the gospel of your salvation, Yashua, in other words, for the good news of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, in whom also, after that ye believed in the truth, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in Yeshua Messiah, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Elohim of our Savior Yeshua the Messiah, the glory, the Father of the glory, may give unto you the spirit of the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. For the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is with the exceeding greatness of his power unto usward, who believe according unto the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in the Yeshua Messiah, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things unto the congregation, which is of his body, as the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The only thing I add when I'm reading these scriptures is the missing words that should have been put there in the first place. And that's your prepositions and articles, and also explaining the word gospel, meaning the good news of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua for the redemption of his people. That's an awful lot to add to it, but that's what clarifies the picture. Okay, that's the end of Ephesians chapter 1. Now we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says in verse 11, and for this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion. What? Why? I'll read verse 10 again. And with all deceivables of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Yahweh shall send them strong delusion. Send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not in the truth of the law of the sanctuary, but had pleasure in the unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always unto the Father for you, brethren, beloved of the Yeshua, because Yahweh the Father hath from the beginning chosen you unto the salvation of the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth of the sanctuary. All the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Here's Paul, verse 14, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Whereunto he called you by our teaching of the plan, the good news of the plan of the salvation to the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, for the obtaining of the glory of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold of the tradition that you have been taught, whether by the word or our epistle. Now our Savior Yahshua the Messiah himself and Yahweh, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through the grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3:3 says, but the Yeshua is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from the evil. Now we go back to Exodus chapter 13. And it says right there in verse 15 again, and it came to pass when Pharaoh could hardly let us go that the Yeshua slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And I explained to you before, because Pharaoh wouldn't sanctify them by the blood of the Passover lamb that the Israelites were required to do the ordinance. Pharaoh refused to do it, and so he couldn't sanctify the firstborn of Egypt, and that's what Yahweh said, that those that don't do this, well, the angel will not pass over them, but will smote the firstborn of the people, of the animals, everything. Okay, in verse 16, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for a frontness between thine eyes. For the strength of the hand, the Yeshua brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that Yahweh led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for the Yahweh said, Let peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return unto Egypt. But Yahweh led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, Yahweh will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones for away hence with you. And they took their journey from the Sukkoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh went before them by the day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by the night in the pillar of the fire to give them light to go by the day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by the day, nor the pillar of the fire by the night from before the people. Okay, that ends chapter 13 of Exodus. Now we're going to go right on into chapter 14. Verse 1, and the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of the Israel, that they turn and encamp before the Pharaoh, between the Migdol and the sea, over against the Baal Ziphon, before it shall be encamped by the sea. For the Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, in the wilderness hath he shut them in. And I will harden the Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon the Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Yahshua. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of the Pharaoh and of his servant was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And Yahshua hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside the Pahaloth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Yahshua. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of the Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Yahshua, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahshua shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And Yahshua said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So the symbol of the rod in Moses' hand is with the representation of the government of Yahweh that is regulated by the sanctuary system of the temple, where the priest officiates for the people of Israel for their salvation by the blood of the animal, by the blood of the lamb. And in verse 17, Exodus 14, it says, And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon the Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have got me honor upon the Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Okay, and the angel of Yahweh which went before the camp of the Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by the night unto these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Yahshua caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them unto the midst of the sea, even all of the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch that the Yahshua looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of the Israel. For the Yahshua fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And Yahshua said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. In other words, Moses stretched out his rod again, like he did in verse 16, where it says, but lift up thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea. Okay, so in Exodus 14:27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned unto his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fed against it, and the Yahshua overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of the Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and their waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Yahshua saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptian, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which Yahshua did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Yahshua and believed in the Yahshua and his servant Moses. That's the end of Exodus chapter 14. Let's just go right on with chapter 15. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Yahshua, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Yahshua, for he hath triumphed gloriously, for the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So who are they singing unto? They're singing unto the sun, Yahshua, that rock that's in the cloud that followed them there in the wilderness. It says, "For Yahshua is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. He is my deliverer. He is my savior." They got God here, G-O-D, and yes, he is their deity or their Yahweh, Yahushua, which has the Father's name on the front. "And I will prepare him an habitation for my father's Yahweh, and I will exalt him. For the Yahshua is a man of the war, the Yahshua is his name." Now, isn't this amazing? That Yahshua is a man of war. Isn't this amazing? Who'd ever thought that? Yahshua was a man of war. Well, how about David? Was David a man of war? Let's go and check Exodus chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. And let's see who that's talking about there. "And the Yahshua said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth." I thought the Yahweh the Father created man. The Father. But it says here, the Yahshua, "I will create man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So, then in Genesis 1:26, let's go look at that again. The Father is speaking unto the Son, here in Genesis 1:26. He says, "And Yahweh said, let us make man in our image." So he's talking about Yahshua, his Son. He said, "Come and let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And lo and behold, it says over here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, that Yahweh the Father created all things by his Son. So his Son then could rightfully say that he created man. So Hebrews 1, it says, verse 1, "For the Yahweh, who at the sundry times and in the divers manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and above holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins," Yahshua is the one that purged our sins, "sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Yahweh, the Almighty Father, is the majesty on high. All right. So now, it says that Yahshua created all, the Father created all things by the Son. So the Son could rightfully then say that that he is the creator of mankind, and that he is a man of war. Okay, let's read that again in Genesis 6, verse 7 and 8. "And Yahshua said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth. For it repenteth me that I have made them, and nor found grace in the eyes of the Yahshua." So now in Hebrews 11:7, it talks about also that by faith, Noah, being warned of Yahweh of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith and the blood of the Yahshua. For by the faith in the blood of Yahshua Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, this Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, I just read it. So by faith, it says in verse 9, Abraham, a sojourner in the land of the promise, by faith what? By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, he sojourned in the land of the promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle of Isaac and Jacob, as the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is the Yahweh. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant also, Sarah herself received strength for the conceiving of the seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So you have to have faith in the blood, and also in order to fulfill the will of the Father and the Son, so that you can receive power from them to fulfill the commission that he has given you and called you to fulfill. It's through the blood. It's through faith in that blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua and of the Father. All right. So now we go back again at once to Exodus 15. And it says, Yahshua is a man of war. Exodus. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. For the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Yahshua, has become glorious in the power. So who is the right hand today? The house of David. The everlasting kingdom of the heaven here on earth. And in the 12th parabolic era. Thy right hand, O Yahshua, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine ecstasy, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as the stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, for the flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. For the enemy said, I will pursue, and I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as a lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Yahshua, among the gods here of Baal, I would add, here on this earth? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in the praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Where is that holy habitation? It is at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, there in the wilderness of Saudi Arabia today. For the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of the Palestinian. Then the dukes of the Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take a hold upon them. All the inhabitants of the Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Yahweh, O Yahshua, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary of, O Yahshua, which thy hands have established. For Yahshua shall reign forever and ever. So in Psalm chapter 10, verse 16, let's go read what David has to say as well on that. Psalms 10, verse 16. It says, Yahshua is a king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Okay, and that's in Jeremiah 10, 10, talks about his land. Let's see what that has to say. Isaiah 10, 10. I mean Jeremiah 10:10. Jeremiah 10:10. It says that, but the Yeshua is the true, okay, it says true God, and the translators mean that he is the Father. But you can't do that. But the Yeshua is with the true Yahweh, the Father. He is with the living Elohim and an everlasting King. And as an everlasting King, at his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Then in Psalm 76:7, it talks about that, and we'll bring this to a close. Okay. It says that thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, the earth feared and was still. When the Yahshua rose unto the judgment to save all the meek of the earth, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of the wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto Yahshua, your king, let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of the princes. He is terrible unto the kings of the earth. And we know this is Yahshua, because it says in Psalm 68:35, we'll close with that. It says, O Yahshua, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. For the Yahshua of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be the Yahshua, Messiah. This brings us close to our study. This is our contest. It's the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through, buddy. Elijah Davis. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if he hadn't created you. And you would not have known about a bad creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. Yah is blessed when he comes. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And all that is blessed when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been no creation of earth if God had not come down. So when all creation heard in the world has been around, he spoke the word and the light appeared. He defied it. What the waste?